Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
I'm chatting with Maurice Raitt, General Manager for Africa and Europe at Luna. Maurice, appreciate the time. A note that you put out recently, it hit me like a thunderstruck. I had not realized that in South Africa, digital currencies are designated as neither offshore or onshore, which kind of, it kind of leaves them as in an absolute limbo as to what they are and also who can potentially access them.
Yes, Simon. So cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, as we know, are global assets. Yeah. So they're not confined to a specific country. It's almost like the internet of money. It's similar to how the internet isn't confined to a specific country. Now, SA has a unique context, and I think same as many emerging markets, in the sense that it has a capital control system. So, yeah. And this limits the amount of money that can be transferred across SA borders, and by implication, it also limits the amount of money that can be invested outside of South Africa. Now, there are two specific use cases that will be unlocked and will unlock significant value for South Africa if National Treasury can classify crypto assets as onshore assets. And firstly, it's the investment use case. So if crypto is deemed as an onshore asset, investing in crypto with rand locally does not impact your foreign investment allowances.
Gotcha.
That clarity is really important, especially for asset managers. If it is designated as an offshore asset, it means that you can only invest up to your foreign investment allowance, which is either 1 million or 11 million per annum, and you have to compete with other global asset classes as well. So you can only invest 11 million across all asset classes. Now, we know the significant growth that we saw in especially exchange traded products in the US, Bitcoin ETFs, and those ETFs have accumulated more than $100 billion in assets under management. So it's popular. Local asset managers want to offer exchange traded products like Bitcoin backed ETFs to their clients, but they require clarity around the onshore versus offshore status of crypto assets before they can invest the resources to build and issue those products. To know whether the individual investors or their prudential allowances are going to be impacted by it if they are deemed to be offshore assets. And then, Simon, just shortly, the second use case is the payments use case. In there, local businesses want to either pay for imports using crypto or stablecoins. They want to receive payment for exports because it's much faster and cheaper to use cryptocurrency than going through the FX system. But also, holding companies in SA want to use crypto to repatriate profits, especially for subsidiaries in other African markets.
Yeah.
And so there's a real value unlock from an investment perspective, but then also from a payments perspective. And that's why that classification is so critically important for us as an industry.
Yeah, and I take your point. And I mean, I was pondering as to whether it should be onshore or offshore. But the answer is quite simple. It should be an onshore asset. And more importantly, it's just that clarification. What we have right now as I said up front, it had never occurred to me. But as soon as it did occur to me that it's neither, it just starts to give me a headache. It's the clarification which is critically important, and ideally to say onshore.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think SA still punches above its weight globally, in one of the fastest growing industries globally. We have world class local crypto asset service providers. At Luno, we see ourselves as the crypto pioneer, having been around since 2013, and South Africans can really buy or gain access to cryptocurrency with ease and also with peace of mind. And I must say, the regulators have been pragmatic and collaborative, Simon, but we still have this grey area, in the sense that institutional investors, asset managers require that degree of clarity to know that if they decide or choose to enter the market, they need to know that the asset can exist onshore. Banks are also hesitant to provide banking services to licensed cryptocurrency exchanges because of the grey area it sets in. And then, as I said, companies are reluctant to use crypto for the purposes of trade, import, export, and the repatriation of profits because of that grey area. So we think that if there can be increased collaboration between lawmakers, in particular National Treasury and the industry, that classification can drive significant growth for the industry, and then also can add to SA's fiscus in the form of tax revenue.
I mean, part of the challenge here is that, you know, I mean, Bitcoin, which is the OG in the crypto spaces, is still relatively new. I mean, it was January 3rd, 2009, so let's call it 16 years old. I mean, it's just a teenager. We're kind of having to almost make it as we go along. And to the credit of our regulators, they have been doing stuff. They're just some parts perhaps still left over. But we have had some regulations come in, FSP licensing and the like, which has certainly aided and helped the industry.
Yeah, no, definitely, Simon. I think the Financial Sector Conduct Authority launched its license regime last year. And I think now CASPs or exchanges are held to regulatory standards. Mm-hmm. They're scrutinized through annual inspections to ensure compliance. They must meet requirements in terms of transaction monitoring. So yes, I think there's a big tick. But then there's also the classification of onshore versus offshore. So that's mm-hmm. a separate conversation, and that sits with Treasury. And then I think there's also this potential misconception that huge growth and real safety in the industry are mutually exclusive. Mm. Growth and safety can coexist if it is approached properly. And I think it's partially influenced by a few high-profile overseas cases like FTX, where there was a complete lack of corporate governance, and then recently the Bybit security hack, where $1.5 billion worth of Ethereum was stolen. And so I think locally regulation addresses those risks to a large extent. And as I said, we have world-class providers in SA that align themselves with global security practices, provide institutional-grade security features locally to individuals, but also to businesses, and that know how to safeguard client funds.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. It's that regulation, it's that compliance, which prevents the lack of FTX. And that Ethereum hack, $1.5 billion is probably the biggest heist ever, because if you were, I don't know, stealing $100 bills, you couldn't carry $1.5 billion of them. But we will leave that there. That's Marius Raitz, who's General Manager for Africa and Europe at Luno. Really appreciate the time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.